Greetings, victims. For those of you who delight in dread, who fantasize about fear, who glorify gore, welcome. You have found the place where the horror returns. Listeners, beware. This podcast contains major plot spoilers and the foulest of language. Join us in celebrating the old and the new, the best and the worst in horror.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Horror Returns. I'm Lance. We got Philip and Brian, as always. You guys knocked it out of the park last week, helping host our March Madness. Really appreciate it, guys.
Did we host?
Yeah, I think
it was.
Well,
it was all Heather. The real thing is Heather. She's the one that knocked it out of the park. She did the damn thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Me and Phil was just there along for the ride.
Definitely a podcaster. That's what I do, man. I show up and I talk.
And I will say she probably was selling The Horror Returns more in that episode than we probably did ever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we appreciate them all coming on. They were
A
great group of girls and Pedro.
Yeah. Pedro knows movies, man. That's for damn sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he does.
He's always fun.
All right. All right. Well, shit, we got a lot to cover tonight. For one thing, we've got Brian, the old trailer roundup.
Yeah.
Do the Sounders, huh?
A lot of trailers. Two big ones dropped today and yesterday as we're recording. So.
Yeah.
That'd be exciting.
And a really big movie drops tomorrow. Can't wait to go see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are you
very
guys
excited about that one?
Are you guys interested in that Immaculate with Sydney Sweeney?
Yes.
Like, they are pushing the hell out of that. Best horror movie of the year. Best horror movie in the past 10 years.
Ooh. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a hard...
I only heard one bad review, and it wasn't a bad review. It was just said it was just a okay non-exploitation movie, but everybody says Sydney Sweeney like just kills it in this movie.
She seems to be the new It girl.
No kidding. Does she get topless? That's the question.
Probably.
Well, I mean, if it's nuns exploitation.
Uh-huh.
There's a possibility. Somebody's right. Getting topless.
At least that's the meme. I don't know. I'm not.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure if I've even seen Sydney Sweeney in really anything except a couple of episodes of Euphoria.
I watched her in something this week that is going to be a not so cool of the week.
Uh oh. Madam Webb.
That's right.
Or I could be wrong.
Well, Sydney Sweeney is supposed to be the only part, the good part of that movie, right?
Is she? Yeah. I don't know.
we'll get to it.
All right, and we will. So let's jump in. I'll go first. Cool of the week, Philip. While you think,
yes,
I know you've got a couple of choices. So Brian, I finally saw it, dude. I wasn't there for you the week we recorded, but I made up for it.
Uh-oh.
Lisa Frankenstein.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Have you seen it, Philip?
I saw most of it. But I mean, to be fair, it was on a bad copy, but about halfway through the movie, right. I was fucking bored.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of dug it, man. And not necessarily the story of the... Because, yeah, there, make no mistake, you probably left right when it started falling apart.
Probably.
But I definitely respected the way it was filmed. I like the color palette choices that they made. A lot of that good Diablo Cody back and forth dialogue.
It's very Diablo Cody. I think it's going to end up going the way of Jennifer's Body, of how it's getting more appreciation now than it did when it originally came out. I think it's going to slowly build like a cult following.
Yeah, see, that's one I didn't get the chance to go to the theater, so I had like a pirated crap copy, man. And I kind of want to, I actually do want to watch a real copy of it.
Oh, it's out there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a really nice copy, Philip.
Okay. Check it out.
So, yeah, but no, it had colors popped. It definitely felt 80s retro. It had that. It had all those 80 cliches, right? Like the parents are idiots. You know, nobody understands me. You know, I'm an angry teenager. You know, and all that shit. But I just thought it was filmed really well, and I don't know. It was. I'll say I liked it. I'll say I liked it better than the what was the swimming pool thing we saw.
Oh yeah.
and I gave that a 6.
Oh, Night Swim. Wow.
Night Swim.
I already forgot it.
And whose daughter's in that? Is that Robin Williams' daughter?
No, Robin Williams' daughter, what's her name? Zelda Williams. She directed.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's not the person that was in it.
Okay.
No, that's Catherine Newton. She was in Freaky. And,
oh, right.
She's Ant-Man's daughter.
That's right. Yeah, I like her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a good career in front of her. Kind of like Sydney Sweeney, Philip.
And the guy that plays the Frankenstein creature type character, my daughter had to point out that that's a one of the twins from that Disney show.
Cody.
Is that from the Sweet Life of Zack and Cody?
Oh, man. Yeah, that was...
That's a throwback there, man.
That was after my time.
Yeah, I didn't know what she was talking about. This the Adam Sandler movie Big Daddy, because both twins played the same role.
Oh, is that those same kids?
Yeah. So
really? Okay, that I didn't know.
I knew they were twins that played that role, but yeah, no, I didn't know it was them.
Yeah.
Hey, damn. Huh. Okay. Yeah, it's okay, Philip. No. It's worth a watch. It's worth a watch, dude. If you can get a good copy of it, and just I was just shocked by how good the photography was, the camera work and the set design and everything. So, I don't know, for a first time director, but you know, it is Robin Williams' daughter, right? So I'm sure she has lots of talent, like born into her, right?
Yeah, or at least some connections.
Or at least some connections. So maybe it's like, did she really direct it type thing? Who knows, right?
Well, I mean, I'm sure she had help, but, you know, yeah, Robin Williams is a brilliant guy.
All right. Do you think you're cool, Philip?
Wait. You never talked about Dune.
I was going to ask about that, actually, because I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it opening day, man.
Is it awesome?
How was it?
Oh man, I don't like that answer. No, I did not like it as good as part one. I thought it dragged in places. Now it was a lot closer to the book than the first movie, the one with Sting. But you get Sting's character, and it's kind of interesting who plays, you know, that particular character. So
well, that movie they mashed a whole bunch into one movie.
Yeah,
they did. Yeah, they did. This was a lot more true to the novel, but as a result, it had a few slow moments, which I almost found myself nodding out, Brian.
Oh.
Well, I mean, the first one wasn't exactly fast-paced.
Yeah, a lot of character development and stuff like that, but I don't know. Yeah,
a lot of world building.
Mm-hmm. I expected a little bit more, I guess, but you know, it is what it is. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I went.
Well, and I'm super excited about it, but we're like, what, 2 years removed from the first one? So
I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
I really
kind of lost track of it. That's why I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Sounds like from Denis Villeneuve, however you say his name. It sounds like it'll be a while before the third one will come out. Because he wants to do other stuff, which is understandably because this franchise has taken up years of his life.
Okay, so they're going to do Children of Dune next, Brian?
I don't know what book they're going to do. He says he is writing the third one, but he's writing it in his time. He's not rushing to do it because he has other projects that he kind of...
Oh, okay.
Put to the side, which I mean, I guess it's fine. It's not like, what's his name? Timothée Chalamet. It's not like he's going to age much. It looks like he's 12 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think he's, I don't know, maybe if he's oversaturated. Well, one of the movies that I was actually going to talk about was Wonka.
Oh.
Oh, there we go. What
I kind of didn't like it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Was it the same?
Well, no, it was like, I don't know, man. Because Timothée Chalamet, I think he pulled off a pretty good young Gene Wilder.
Willy. Young Willie. But,
yeah, well, like he sort of captured that character a little bit, but it didn't really fit in this movie.
Because
it was more of a musical, silly, sweet thing than, like, the first one was a little dark, man.
Yeah, there was some.
Yeah, super.
I remember as a child, I love that movie. I've seen it millions of times as a child, but there were some parts where it was just kind of frightening.
Yeah. And sure. I think maybe he was trying to do a little bit more of an impression than of Gene Wilder than actually being the character.
Oh, maybe. No.
I don't know. And the songs were not memorable, and it was, I don't know, there wasn't much of an arc in the movie. Eesh. It was kind of cheesy to me.
Did they at least have the Oompa Loompas in there?
They had an Oompa Loompa.
Oh, yes, no! Only one?
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. Oh, and he was very tiny. Like fairy tiny.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in the trailer. I was like, why is he so much smaller than the ones in the original? Do they get bigger? Because this is a prequel, so do they get bigger as time goes on? Or?
Yeah, no. Apparently Wonka took their only cocoa beans, which was expressed through a quick story, and because they only had like four, and he was sent to get them back plus tenfold, because that's their Oompa Loompa tradition or whatever. I don't know. It didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Okay.
Not awesome.
I almost watched it this week because I saw it's on Max.
Oh, you're gonna fucking hate it because it's a full blown.
Oh
movie.
Yeah.
I almost was gonna watch it because my daughter is a big fan of Timothée Chalamet, but she was like, I don't want to watch this.
Oh, well, there you go.
She's a big. She's really against like prequels and remakes.
Hey, raised a good one.
Found out she really hates Jenna Ortega.
Really?
What?
She thinks she's just in too many things. Cause I was like, she's in Beetlejuice too, and she was like, I don't care, I ain't watching it.
Oh no.
She makes sense in that movie, I think. But we'll talk about that in the trailers, I guess.
Yeah.
And the only other, I know that I watched a bunch of shit because we didn't really go over Cool of the Week last week. And so I've got a whole laundry list of stuff, but I can't remember any of them off the top of my head. So the one that I'm going to say is the most recent thing that I watched is a series on Netflix called The Messiah. And it's got Michelle Monaghan in it.
Ah.
Yeah. So
okay.
Like a new Jesus figure pops up in Syria and like travels across the U.S. and he's gaining a whole lot of traction. Like social media wise, and people are following him and stuff, and the CIA is after him. Michelle Monaghan is a CIA character, and she's investigating him and finds out that maybe he's not who he says he is. So it's pretty interesting. It's not bad.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So that's all I got this week.
All right.
Start all right, Ryan, let us have it.
Last week, this is just a quick one.
Okay.
Last week, I watched the entire, I didn't watch it. I had it on in the background, the entire Leprechaun franchise for St. Patrick's Day.
Ooh, that's a lot.
And I will have to say Warwick Davis is a national treasure.
Oh, for sure.
And I wouldn't mind, we'll talk about some Leprechaun news in horror headlines, but I wouldn't mind him coming back.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they should ever give that role to anybody but him.
Let's see. When Don Anelli was on here, he talked about a independent horror movie called St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
I can't say the name of the tagline because they just like he said they said it in the movie and I couldn't still remember what it was. Yeah, it's not good.
Oh no.
Some of the makeup effects were pretty cool for what it was, but just the acting, and I just couldn't get past the acting, and then I couldn't figure out the location. Were they in Ireland? Were they in America? And it just...
Maybe that was by design.
Yeah. That one's on Tubi if anybody wants to check it out.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Okay, now the bigger movies I've seen. I saw Aquaman and The Last Kingdom.
Oh.
No? Huh?
It's fine.
Okay.
That's my problem.
Is it? Okay. All right.
Wait, just let me finish. That's been my problem with the DC movies is...
Yeah.
I've always came out saying, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Understood. Gotcha.
The big problem with this movie is the tone. At certain parts, it wanted to go dark. Like the character of Black Manta, played by, can't ever see if I can get his name.
Try saying that. Right.
The guy that played the new Candyman.
What's his name?
Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
Oh, okay.
Saying it three times, Philip.
No.
he's awesome as Black Manta.
But he was in a whole different movie than the others, wasn't he?
Jason Momoa was in a different movie than everybody else. I don't know. They tried to put more comedy in it. I don't know if they knew that this was the end of this current DC run.
So while they were just filming it?
Yeah, so they just didn't give a fuck. Because I've heard stories that he was like fucking drunk.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, he has a little like tequila line or vodka line, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, Adam Heard disappears for large amounts of the movie.
I'm sorry, what?
Amber Heard disappears for large amounts of the movie, and I know why she got cut out.
She had to be at trial. She had to be at trial, Brian.
Oh no, she filmed. They just cut it out of the movie. Because they're so worried about what everybody thinks, and it honestly it just kind of hurt the movie. I'm just like,
I figured it would.
Where the fuck did she go for 45 minutes?
Like, unless you're gonna completely recast her, you can't just cut her out of the movie.
Right.
It just tonally, it just was like, it starts out like I'm just like, am I watching a fucking comedy? What the fuck's going on here? And then. Something kind of cool will happen. Something kind of dark will happen. Then it'll go right back to, am I watching a fucking comedy again?
That was the theatrical release of Justice League, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was the end of the DCEU. That was the final movie. So everything else is James Gunn's new vision. So fingers crossed.
Good. You know what? That's the way you restart it. You're like, okay, cut everything. We're starting from scratch.
Yep.
Marvel, you listening?
Oh, when we talk about one of the trailers, I'll have something to say about Marvel.
Okay.
Speaking of Marvel, I checked out probably the worst Marvel. The worst comic book. One of the worst movies I've probably ever seen, and that was Madam Web.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
In six words, there's been some shitty Marvel movies.
This is the from biggest way back in the waste day. Of fucking time. This movie's not even fun. It's not even fun to make fun of.
Oh, no.
Lance, your girl, Dakota Johnson.
Right.
She fucking phoned it in. It's like she fucking knew what she was in from the moment she got the script.
Right.
And just sleptwalked through the entire fucking movie. They introduced three Spider-Women characters. I don't know why there's three Spider-Women, Spider-Girl characters that exist in the same timeline.
Okay.
But you only see them in costume in Visions.
What?
Up to probably maybe 5 minutes of screen time.
Oh, no.
Eesh. That's not cool.
Oh,
and this... I'm gonna spoil it, so if anybody gets mad, sorry.
Go ahead, dude. I'm probably with Dakota and Sydney, I'm probably never gonna see it.
Well, because what's one of the other worst, you know, comic book movies that they did with the strong female lead, Catwoman.
But the, oh God, Catwoman. Stop it! Stop
the high it. Point of that horrible. One was the costume.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, don't forget the old made-for-TV Captain America where he was riding around on a motorcycle in the 70s.
I'd rather watch that. This movie
really?
Makes no sense. And, okay, this is the part I'm going to spoil. This takes place before Peter Parker is born because what? Dakota
no,
Johnson's character...
stop it!
Dakota Johnson's character is an ambulance. She's a paramedic. And her partner is Adam Scott, who... They just kept calling him Ben.
Like Uncle Ben?
And then when they later, you find out his last name is Parker.
Oh, no.
And then his brother is out of town, so he has to
giving
help
you
take
some
care
member
of
berries.
His pregnant sister-in-law, who they're about to say the name at the baby shower, and it gets interrupted, and you already know it's fucking Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. So you find out all this fucking takes place before Peter Parker's born. The villain has a Spider-Man-like costume before Peter Parker's born. Mm.
Well, that doesn't work with the timeline.
It doesn't work with anything, Phil.
Yeah. Now, I don't, to be fair, I don't know anything about the comic book character, Madam Web. I know of her, but that's mm-hmm. it.
They're cool. I'll speak on the Spider-Women characters. I know of them a little bit from the comic books. They're all cool mm-hmm. if they were introduced in a Spider-Man centered movie.
Right.
Like if they probably were in one of the Spider-Verse movies, like the second one. They're probably in there somewhere.
Sure.
That would have made sense. It just, this whole Sony Spider-Man's not around bullshit storyline is, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, awesome. That, Lance, I really wanted to tell you Dakota Johnson was something, the only thing to watch out of this, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She came off like she didn't give a fuck.
What about our girl Sydney? She didn't do well?
She did her role. I like her thing she came out with in the news because I guess, you know, people are really coming down on the movie and she was just like, hey, I was just an actress hired to play a role. You know,
hey, right there. That movie.
You know what? That might be the best defense at this point.
No kidding.
That's what she basically said. It's like, I didn't write the fucking thing. I just got hired to be in it.
I did my job.
They told me to stand here and say this, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
She probably, in the Spider-Woman costume, she probably looked the best.
I'm sure.
She probably had the coolest. That doesn't surprise me. But yeah, watch that. Then I followed that up with another shitty fucking movie.
Wow, you had a rough week, man.
Now, I'm glad you included Zim's comment.
Okay.
We'll get to that later.
All right, I'm intrigued.
I watched Glenn Danzig's Death Rider in the House of Vampires. My bottom list is filling up quickly. It is filling up.
Wow. Is that new for this year?
It is for me. It was doing the festival run, and I think it just got released on Blu-ray. But Zim, I was able to find a copy.
Zim is yelling at his iPod right now.
Yell all you want, buddy, because, okay, this has
Devin well, who Sawa. Told Glenn Danzig he could be a director in the first place?
Glenn Danzig told himself. This has Devin yeah. Sawa.
Of course.
Eli Roth.
What? Of course.
Tony Trejo.
Of course. What?
Well, he knows some guys.
Okay.
And there's some other actors that pop in there. But Devin Sawa, again, like Dakota Johnson. I felt like he was phoning it in. I mean, he was doing his like wow. mysterious gunslinger kind of voice. But just the way he was performing, I'm just like, you're doing a favor for a friend. That's what yeah. this role is.
Yeah.
Straight up, huh?
Lance, I gotta say, Eli Roth was hamming it the fuck up, and he was probably one of my sure favorite characters in the movie.
Best part of the movie. Okay.
Well, yeah, if you know that you're in a shitty movie, and I assume that Eli Roth probably knew that he was in a shitty movie.
I assume.
The best thing you can do is just fucking go overboard with it. Like Jim Carrey the shit out of that thing.
These last four I'll go through real quick. My next three movies are all on Shudder. I checked out Satanic Hispanics, the new horror anthology.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good. Of course, you know, with most anthologies, you know, you're going to get some that are just not as good as the rest. But I thought it was a pretty good effort. Got my girl, Gigi. She did an episode or a segment. Can't think of his name, Lance. The director that did When Evil Lurks.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, from Peru, maybe? No. Man, that sound horrible right now. We should know
whatever
this.
It was, that movie was fucking awesome.
Yeah, he did a segment.
No kidding. That was a big get for them.
The guy that was one of the co-directors on the original Blair Witch Project did a segment. So they had some pretty big names in there. And some of the cast, you know... If you don't know him by name, you'll just be like, oh, I've seen this person in a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty decent. Checked out A History of Evil.
Okay.
Kind of bored with this one.
Oh, no.
Takes place in a time where ultra, I'm going to assume, religious right-wing fanatics have taken over the country.
Mm-hmm.
This lady has written a book about them. I could be wrong about that. That's just what I got. This lady wrote a book about them. She got put in prison for it. And I'm assuming she's getting... They break her out of prison. They're sneaking her back over to the safe zone. And they stay at this house where they're hiding out. And spooky shit starts to happen. The country being overrun by whatever is just kind of a secondary thing. The supernatural stuff in the house...
What was this movie called?
Right.
A History of Evil.
I have no idea what this is.
No, I remember A History of Violence, the Cronenberg movie, but
yeah. And the movie, if I had to, when it gets into the house, if I had to compare it, I would compare it to the original Amityville Horror, because you know when the spirits like corrupt the father to make him do bad stuff to the family, it's essentially what's happening here in this movie.
Okay.
Not the best though, huh?
It's a decent movie. It's well filmed. It just dragged a little for me. Not enough to keep my interest.
All right. I might check it out. I mean, you said it's on Shudder, right?
Yep. Next
paying
one
for it
Shudder.
Anyway.
Yeah. Next one on Shudder is Megalomaniac.
Ah, okay. What'd you think?
I don't know what that one is.
I want you to check this one out. I think this movie's
I'm going to.
If you didn't know, you probably would have thought this was like an A24 or Neon or IFC type of film.
Mm-hmm.
It's about two siblings of a serial killer kind of going through life. The son is kind of picking up where his father left off, and then you kind of follow the daughter around mostly.
Oh, wow.
There's the cinematography is awesome in this movie. And it gets kind of violent. I do warn people, if you kind of affected by sexual abuse and rape and stuff like that, you do kind of see a bit of that throughout the movie. So I'm just throwing that out there as a warning.
So this is a family of really nice people, huh?
Yeah.
Damn, my wife mentioned the other day, she was like, what was that movie where that girl gets raped? And I was like, Last House on the Left? She was like, yeah. And I was like, do you want to watch that? I don't want to watch that.
Oh, no. Feel good.
Was she talking about the original or the remake?
I think the remake, because they made that scene even a little longer in the remake.
Yeah, I remember I saw that in the theater, and I was sitting next. I had to be in like a group of women, probably like five of them. And that after 10 minutes of that scene going on, they were just like, I'm done.
Yeah, well, I don't fucking blame them. It was like, all right, we could have cut this down to about 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's not only a rape of a girl, it's a rape of a young girl. And it's just going on and on. And I was kind of slowly sinking into my seat, like, this is kind of uncomfortable. It's the most
brutal fucking scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah. So Megalomaniac was cool, and the last one I checked out was came out today.
Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, okay.
You watched all it?
Yep. All I have to say is, if you there was one reason to watch this movie, it's fucking Conor fucking McGregor.
Oh yeah.
This guy, you could tell, had a fucking blast playing one of the villains.
Of course,
he's so over the top, and allegedly, I'm just saying this allegedly. Don't sue our show. Don't sue the Horror Returns. Connor's got to be on something because he's fucking big in this one.
Maybe, I mean,
like his chest and his like his just his upper half. He's fucking huge.
Maybe he went through like a couple cycles just to be on the movie.
And he looks a little more.
Could be.
A little more fuller in the face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because I think he's coming back to the UFC, right?
Yeah, they just announced it this week.
It's anytime soon. I imagine he's got time to clean up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they test for that, don't they?
Yeah.
But
for sure.
Jake Gyllenhaal, he can't take
the wrong fucking protein powder in the UFC.
Jake Gyllenhaal was fine. I kind of like the Patrick Swayze philosopher type way he played that character. Sure. And Jake Gyllenhaal's ex-UFC fighter that is all about peace and not really a philosopher. It's just he just doesn't like violence anymore, and it takes a lot to get him mad. And when he gets mad, you know, you already know what's going to happen. The fight scenes were awesome, though.
Hmm.
The action was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I really like Jake Gyllenhaal.
He's not bad in this, but like I say, Connor steals the show.
Oh, well, that makes sense, though. But I'm not a diehard Roadhouse fan of the original. Like, it's a dry movie. But.
Well, I also rewatched the original, and you don't have lines like when he's having that fight by the lake with one of the main henchmen, and the guy tells Patrick Swayze, "I used to fuck guys like you in prison." You don't have lines like that.
Too bad.
And you don't have
good bad guy line.
You don't have Sam Elliott in the movie either.
Oh yeah, that's true.
The one girl from Suicide Squad, what was her name? Ratcatcher.
She's
in the movie. She's super fucking cute. I think she's like Peruvian or something.
Mm-hmm.
It made no sense why she was like local to this Florida place, but hey, she was nice to look at.
All right.
Well, I imagine there's a pretty huge Hispanic population in Florida.
There
is.
Cuba. She didn't strike me as a local, though.
Yeah.
Not a local yokel, huh? Not Florida woman, huh?
No, she didn't catch me as that. But it's a decent watch. I still prefer the original one just for that 80s cheese, but
sure.
You got to watch it for Connor.
So is that the cool of the week? Is that the pinnacle, Brian?
Yeah. I have to go with Connor's performance. McGregor. And he says fuck a lot.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does, man.
He's character, dude. I like it.
He's not even playing the character. It's like they were like, dude, he's like, well, so how do you want me to play this role? And he's just like, how do you think you should play the role?
Just go out there and be you, man.
Yeah, cut loose. Cut loose.
Perfect.
You see Jake Gyllenhaal now. Imagine he's your opponent in your next UFC fight. Now go talk shit to him.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. Method acting.
That's exactly how I envision. And I will have to say, the guy, the director that got all butthurt about the movie not going to theaters and going streaming first.
Right, right.
This is not a theater movie.
Oh, I thought okay. It was in the theaters.
No, it's on Prime.
Oh, shit.
Amazon. Well, Amazon yeah, Prime.
I know what I'm watching tonight.
Yeah, he got I guess they had an agreement that he, because he was against the movie going streaming, and they were like, don't worry, it's going to theaters. And then when the movie was done, they were like, oh, it's going straight to streaming. And so he didn't want to promote the movie.
That doesn't surprise me. Jake Gyllenhaal is not a straight to streaming kind of actor.
Yeah, I agree with that. But when you, if you watch it tonight, Phil, you're going to probably be like, I'm probably glad I saw it at home.
There you go. See, I told you I would do this. All right. More cool of the week. I watched some cop movies. And one of them.
There we go. There we go. One of them
was Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Pena in End of Watch.
That's a good one.
Fucking fantastic movie. And then I followed it up with Training Day, which was also awesome.
That's another good one. Yeah.
All done by the guy that made the original Suicide Squad movie.
That's right.
Bam.
That's
right. Look at that.
So I think they should. I don't think we ever talked about it on here. I guess he's kind of done trying to get the director's cut of that movie released.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, if there's a director's cut, because like the other one that they came out with was better than the theatrical one.
Yeah,
because
he said that's not even the movie he originally made.
Dude, because then to watch it, awesome.
And I guess he really was hoping, since James Gunn's in there, but I guess Warner Brothers was like, no, we already did that for Justice League. We're not going to keep putting out different versions of movies when people don't like them.
Because then it makes our production look stupid, because it is. Motherfuckers.
Oh, James Gunn.
Quit sticking your dicks where they don't belong.
I got faith in you, James. I'm calling you James. All right. I'm done. That's all I have.
All right. Is that it, Philip? You think of any more cop movies? Buddy cop movies?
No, I know those are definitely the ones that I wanted to talk about. Because I watched them. I don't know. It's been a while. Because we had baseball games and stuff going. Yeah. So
it's been a long week.
I'm trying to think, which
movie do I like better, End of Watch or Training Day?
They're both really fucking
good. They're both good, yeah.
I mean, Training Day was pretty awesome, too.
I
don't know, man. That's a tough call.
I think if I picked one right now, and if you ask me next week, I might go at a different one. They're pretty fucking good.
Which one did you say right now?
I said if I picked one
question. I thought you said if you pick one right now and then you didn't pick it.
that's a fair statement. That's a fair statement.
I mean, dude, Denzel.
Yeah.
Fucking killed it.
King Kong.
Yeah.
Think that's isn't it the role he finally got an Oscar for?
Did he?
Yeah, I think it was one of those he should have got an Oscar way before, and they were like,
yeah.
We'll give it to him for Training
like they did with Leonardo, right?
Yeah, because if you would have told me to pick a movie from his filmography, it would have been The Revenant that he won an Oscar for.
Sure. Well, and Denzel has done a couple of bad ones. Like, he had a little downtime in the 90s. But
When he was doing like the action cop.
Yeah.
Mystery thrillers or whatever.
Like, I like Deja Vu.
Oh, that's right.
There was that other one that came out about the same time. It was terrible. Kiss the Girls was great. That wasn't him. I loved it.
That wasn't him. What was the other one that he was in around?
Was
that
it
time?
Out of Time?
Out of Time.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's it.
That was a shit. So
they're all based on novels and stuff.
But man, Training Day, boy, that was the Denzel show right there.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brian, got any news for us? I know we got trailers.
Oh yeah, we got some news. So let's try to get to it because I want to get some trailers. TV news first. Actually, a little non-horror news. Rebecca Ferguson and Chris Pratt are set to star in Amazon MGM Studios sci-fi thriller Mercy.
No idea what that is.
Me neither.
Neither do I. But
okay.
Who's Rebecca Ferguson?
Dr. Sleep, Dune.
Oh, okay.
All right. I know when I posted this, she got a lot of notice on our Facebook.
So oh, okay. I've seen her.
A lot of pretty big fan base for Rebecca Ferguson. She's in the Mission Impossible movies too.
That's right. That's right. She was great in Dr. Sleep. She was the best part of the movie. Rose the Hat.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right. Now TV news. Lionsgate is developing a Twilight animated television series. Oh, we lost Lance. He walked away on that one.
Well, I don't blame him.
it's a cash grab. Try to figure out some way to get some more money out of it.
Dude, that's what. As if the franchise didn't have enough fucking weight on it already.
Yeah. Let's see. Got some more news on the upcoming Halloween television series. They're basically doing a creative reset on it. The base is going to be the original movie. And then everything else is new timeline for the television series.
So this is like Halloween 2, the television series?
Pretty much.
Okay. That makes sense.
So Halloween, no matter which timeline you're trying to connect it to, it has nothing to do with any of those timelines. Just the original 1978 movie.
I don't hate that.
You back, Lance?
Yeah, you lost me at Twilight Animated. I had to go grab a drink of water.
He had to go puke a little bit.
Just talked about the people doing the Halloween television series said all timelines would be wiped clean except for the original 78 movie.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, if you're going to start clean, don't try to connect it to anything but the base material.
Like, dude, I like all the Spider-Man origin story movies. They're great.
Yeah.
Well, we know who's not watching it. All right, movie news. McKenna Grace is set to star in a psychological thriller set in the 90s called Straight Lies.
Okay.
McKenna Grace is she plays Egon's daughter in the new Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, yeah, she's good. I like her.
She's real good, yeah.
Old enough now to be in psychological thrillers.
Okay.
How old is she?
She's got to be 16, 17 now.
Okay, but still very young.
Because I saw a little TV spot for the new Ghostbusters movie, and she looks noticeably older than she did in the previous Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah, puberty will do that.
Yeah.
This is not really news, but I threw it in here because I thought it was cool, and we're a big fan of her at the Horror Return. Samara Weaving says she would love to go up against Freddy Krueger in a Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Oh, that would be fun.
Now, I've been wondering, is she just saying this because she's a fan of the movie, or is she kind of teasing something that's in development?
I don't know. There was a lot of thoughts that went through my mind. I was like, are they going to do like some kind of crossover?
Right.
Ready or not?
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be great.
You could do that.
I mean, it's already an insane fucking universe, right? Why not?
Sure.
She had to deal with one demon.
Yeah.
And now she has to deal with another one.
And then she could just go across the universes laying waste to demons. That would be great.
And we don't have to... We already know she's badass, so yeah. We already know that coming into it. So
right. So she's not like a fucking Mary Sue Star Wars character. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Like she's already had her trials and tribulations. She's a badass. It's certifiable.
She punched a little kid in that movie too.
Yeah, that was great. She's
ready to take it as far as she needs to. All right. Anthony Hopkins has signed on to star in Eyes in the Trees, a reimagining of H.G. Wells' The Island of Dr. Moreau, with Timothy Wooder Jr. as director.
Okay.
Sure.
Lance doesn't like any of the movies.
Oh, Lord. No, I'm not saying that. It strikes me as humorous.
Okay. So, I assume Anthony Hopkins will be the Dr. Moreau character.
Yeah.
That's Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Does he do better than Brando?
I don't know. It was a pretty good role, man.
I mean, it was a little wild.
All the behind-the-scenes stuff on that movie, I wonder if any of that kind of shenanigans will be going on here.
So you're saying... Like
changing directors halfway.
I was about to say, so you're saying this director will be fired and later try to sneak on set.
Yes. I'm calling it right now, in costume, as an animal.
I like Anthony Hopkins better.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Everything he's in, he's awesome. Everything. Even if it's a shit.
He's spring chicken.
Well, yeah. I know. It just makes him better.
If I remember Dr. Moreau, he just has to sit there and talk.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, this was
wearing his robes, flowing robes. True. Yeah.
I'm down with it since the last movie was such a shit show.
I like it.
If Val Kilmer shows up, I'm going to lose my shit.
I don't think he's showing up.
See, I was going to say they should put Val Kilmer as Dr. Moreau.
That's not bad casting, actually. That's actually not bad casting.
It totally worked. But Anthony Hopkins is a step up, dude. I mean, that guy, I'm telling you, he doesn't. I also watched Noah on Netflix, which I'd never seen before.
Darren Aronofsky. I can't even
remember that it came out. I was like, what the fuck?
Russell Crowe one?
There's so many people in that movie. Yeah, Russell Crowe is in it.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. And Anthony Hopkins is in there and he fucking eats up every scene that he's in. Like, I'm telling you, even when he's in a not great movie, which that movie wasn't bad. It was just super long. He kills it every time. He's in that Thor movie and he makes it suddenly serious.
Oh, that's right. That's
Like he's in Ragnarok. Yeah.
Hey, when he was in Transformers The Last Knight, he was entertaining. Even though you could tell he was hamming it up, he was fucking entertaining in that one.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. Like, he just turns it into an Anthony Hopkins movie all of a sudden for every scene that he's in.
All right. We got a couple production companies starting up. Evil Dead Rise.
Okay.
He doesn't need to start his own company. He is the company, Lance.
Okay.
Evil Dead director Lee Cronin signs a first look deal with New Line Cinema for his new production company called Doppelgangers. So, off the strength of Evil Dead Rise, he made a new production company. So, good on him.
Yeah.
And
see where he goes from here.
Skydance Media is launching an all-new horror label with Andy Muschietti and his sister Barbara Muschietti called Nocturna. So, another horror production company starting up.
Okay. Well, hey,
why not?
The rise of horror movies. I'll take it.
Maggie Gyllenhaal's directorial debut. I think it's her directorial debut. The Bride, which is basically The Bride of Frankenstein, gets the October 3rd, 2025 release date.
Oh, there's your other Universal Horror Nights haunt that we're going to walk through, guys.
Well, I think this next one will probably be there. Lee Whannell's The Wolfman has begun filming.
Nice.
Anytime you talk about a remake of a classic, it's like,
I know.
Well, we'll see.
I really like what he did with The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, that was pretty good, but that was like abnormal for the situation. You know what I mean? Like, there's been so many like remakes of stuff that are just garbage.
Bad.
Yeah. Well, maybe he can strike gold a second time.
Especially when you're remaking something that's already a classic.
If they wanted to strike gold, they should get Warwick Davis in there, Brian.
Yeah. Tiny Wolf Man.
Yeah. Or
Wolf-sized.
They can bring him back for the upcoming Leprechaun reboot. The director, Felipe Vargas, gave an update saying the Leprechaun reboot will have a nice balance of comedy and horror, and will be mostly practical effects.
Cool.
He could be like the scrappy dude to Wolfman.
No, that means everybody's gonna hate him. Everybody hated Scrappy. Let's see. Barbara Crampton is producing the remake for 1979's Tourist Trap.
Oh, cool. That'll probably be good.
Yeah.
I can't remember that one.
New Ghoulies trilogy is in the works from original franchise creators.
Oh, we'll have to have Darren back on the show.
More remakes.
What did we only do the first one? Or the second one?
I think so. I don't. The second one, I think we did that at one point. How's your spreadsheet coming, Brian?
It's coming along slowly. We've reviewed a lot of fucking movies.
Not as slowly as my putting up more re-uploads, that's for sure, but you know.
Well, we still need to do Ghoulies 3 and Ghoulies 4 Go to College.
Yes, Go to College, that's right.
That's awful.
All right, couple big things and then we are done and moving on. Joe Dante is returning to the director's chair for Little Shop of Halloween Horrors.
What?
They're bringing back Little Shop of Horrors.
Didn't they just do the Halloween theme?
No shit.
I think they did a music, a Broadway musical.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they did.
But I'm interested. I mean, Joe Dante, he's done The Howling, Gremlins, The Burbs.
Okay.
So. We talked about.
Yeah, maybe don't make it as much of a musical this time. I'd be down with that.
More serious, like the original Black and White.
You know what? It just popped in my head. You guys ever see the alternate ending where the plants took over the world and were murdering everybody? They're trying to make this a franchise. What if they go off of that idea?
Huh.
Because the alternate ending to the Rick Moranis movie, the plants took over and was just fucking murdering everybody.
That would be, that's probably what's going to happen, Philip.
And an astronaut comes back, and it's going to be like Planet of the Apes, except with plants.
Can it be Rick Moranis?
Yes.
Wow. How great would that be?
Let's see. We talked about Salem's Lot movie probably coming to Max. Max made it official. The new Salem's Lot remake will premiere sometime this year on Max. I'm going to say probably later this year.
Okay.
That one I don't hate.
Stephen King says it's good, but it's from one of his books, so. Well, sure he did.
He doesn't even remember writing it.
Probably not.
He remembers what got him through writing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. That was that time frame, for sure.
New Final Destination movie titled Final Destination Bloodlines has begun production. People are already hating the title because there's probably 20 other horror movies called something, something Bloodlines. But
yeah, that's right.
I heard that's a theory true. That it's called Bloodlines because the story, this is just a fan theory. It might have something to do with somebody's eluding death.
Mm-hmm.
And death finally catching up to them, and since they've had family after generations,
mm-hmm.
death is coming after them because they should have never been alive.
Been born?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That flies in the face of the baby idea in part two. But, okay.
But oh, that had nothing to do with anything.
That's yeah, but true. They said if the new baby gets born, then death stops following you or something, right?
Well, that was a theory that they came up with. It's not
that, like, it wasn't like yeah, it didn't work because yeah,
didn't play out.
She read the vision wrong.
Yes. Never read the visions wrong, kids.
Let's see. Two more things. Maxine finally gets a release date. July 5th in theaters.
Right around the corner.
Okay.
And the big news of, I think, well, we're a couple weeks late on this one. Sorry, everybody. They backed the money truck up. Neve Campbell is returning to Scream for Scream 7.
Oh, so yeah. Scream's back on? I thought the franchise was dead.
Well, they did an interesting thing here. They not only brought Neve Campbell back, but original Scream script writer Kevin Williamson is attached to direct.
Huh.
So I think they were kind of like, don't be mad at us. Look, we brought back the originals for the new one.
Back to basics.
Gotcha. But I was coming up with my own theory. Now, they didn't bring Neve Campbell back for 6 because they didn't want to pay her what she was asking for. Do you think they purposely fired Melissa Barrera?
Oh, no.
Some bullshit comments to free that. Up some money?
It's like a salary cap situation?
Salary cap.
Oh, you spoke on this on social media, Melissa. You're fired. Get out of here.
Oh, no.
Call up Neve. I hope not. He freed some money.
That would be horrible. That would be horrible if that was the case.
Listen, the pie's only so big.
Yeah.
But as for Scream, the true Scream fans, I think this is probably the right move. Bring back the original final girl and the guy that wrote the movie, wrote the characters, because they have a lot of love and respect for the franchise. So, all right, that's it.
All right, you guys, y'all ready to go down to the trailer park?
Let's go.
Brian is going to bring us the big, the small, and lots of very, very weird tonight. So let's get this truck rolling. Brian, what you got, man?
All right, we're going to start with a TV series first. Disney Plus's Star Wars: The Acolyte.
Okay.
A Star Wars series that takes viewers into a galaxy of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era, which I did double check in. This takes place 100 years before Episode 1.
Hmm. Okay.
The stars Amanda Steinberg, Daphne Keene, Jodie Turner Smith, Carrie Ann Moss, which is, she was prominent in the trailer. She's like seventh build in here.
Yeah, she's the only one I've heard of so far.
Yeah. Daphne Keene, she was in the Logan movie. She was the little girl.
Oh. Okay.
She's not a little girl no more, but. Series creator Leslie Headland. Phil, you're probably the biggest Star Wars fan out of all of us. What'd you think?
Not interested.
Oh, no! Wow. Ay-yi-yi.
Not even it has to do from the perspective of the dark side and they're murdering Jedis.
I don't know, man. It looks like it's very heavy on the messaging. Until something's proven to be really badass in Star Wars at this point, I've sort of lost interest in the whole franchise.
Oh no! Wow, strong words from Philip.
Well, I thought the trailer was badass. I like seeing Carrie Ann Moss as I'm assuming a Jedi using her Force powers, because it brought me back to Trinity.
Right. Well, and I'm happy they're doing Jedi stuff at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they're going to the Old Republic stuff.
Yeah. Like it's got potential, I think.
And I thought the poster was pretty badass. It was just a bloody lightsaber laying on the ground. Mm-hmm.
So might be a little darker then, huh?
I would hope so. I mean, if they're coming from the perspective of the dark side, I hope it's going to be dark and not, you know,
little Annie Anakin pod racing.
Oh gosh. That video game was fun though at the arcade.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
There is that. So, what'd you think, Lance?
I'm in. Why not? I mean, look. Here's the thing. I've been to Galaxy's Edge twice now since I've lived here in Florida, and that is a fucking badass accomplishment. What they did to open that whole area up at Disney Hollywood Studio and literally build out like three different Star Wars planets that you can explore through and go in the little shops. And they get a fucking character, man. If you don't walk out of the way, the goddamn stormtroopers will knock you over.
Can you knock them back over?
I would think so, but damn, man, you talk about in character, man. They're like, move out of the way, you know. And the little kids coming up to them, like wanting to, you know, take their picture, and they're like, oh, it's a youngling, and they'll tap them on the head and say, get out of here. Just like kids probably crying, you know. So I'm excited. They are, and they pull it off. No, I'm more excited about Star Wars than I've ever been. So I'm cool. I'm down with it. I just think this one's going to have some twists. I think people that you think are going to be good are going to be evil, and I think vice versa. I see a lot of intrigue in this one, so we'll see.
Well, I'm just kind of glad we're going to get all new story and not rely on the same characters
into the ground
over and over. This takes place 100 years. I think someone said the only possible character that could show up is Yoda.
Yoda. I'm sure he will. Yeah.
But other than nobody exists yet. So, I mean, we'll see June 4th, not too far from here, episode premiere on that day. All right. Moving on to a movie that's going to appear on an upcoming Cage Rage episode.
You think?
Arcadian, starring Nicolas Cage, Jaden Martell, Maxwell Jenkins. A father and his twin sons fight to survive a remote farmhouse at the end of the world. So kind of seems like a post-apocalyptic type scenario.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen some reviews on it, because the trailer didn't really tell me much going on, but I've seen some reviews saying that the creature work is amazing.
But what are the creatures?
It's nobody's saying. I guess it's a mystery. It's kind of like what you got to see the movie.
They almost look like weird little werewolf things. Like they were like Davis in a werewolf costume.
Oh, multiply.
There you go.
They almost look like critters for a second.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
I don't know what's going on.
But this will be going on a Cage Rage episode, because I believe Beads requested that we should do this along with Long Legs that comes out in a couple months.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. All right, post-apocalyptic Nicolas Cage, sign me up, dude.
Yeah, the only downer part I see is it doesn't look like crazy Nick Cage in this one.
I know.
Yeah, but he does kind of yell at his sons.
Didn't show a lot.
He does kind of yell at his sons for not coming in by the time it got dark.
Well, he did say, "Are we not men?"
He can't go through a whole movie without being Cage Rage.
maybe you're right, Lance. Maybe that's the moment. When we get to that part where they got to fight and he does his whole speech, "Are we not men?" And he just fucking Nick Cages out for the rest of the movie.
I can see it.
Freedom!
This is coming to theaters April 12th. And then I believe is getting a Shudder release after. The movie that'll probably be out by the time you hear this episode, which is getting a lot of buzz, is IFC's new movie, Late Night with the Devil, starring David Dalsmalchian. I think I said Polka Dot Man.
Polka Dot Man!
The guy's good in everything I've seen him in. I just don't know his name.
Yeah.
Okay. A live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms.
Huh.
So, I mean, I'm in. Just kind of sounds like they did a try to do raise a demon or do an exorcism on national TV, and shit's going to go really fucking wrong.
Yeah, man. I'm loving the trailer. I'm totally into this movie. I'll watch it.
And I heard it's part, not fully, but part of it's found footage, because this is a lost episode from 1977 of a TV show.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm down with that.
So I think it's going to go from found footage to real time, what actually happened. And like you said, Phil, this David Dalsmalchian guy, Polka Dot Man, he's awesome at everything.
He looks great in this one.
Yeah, this could be the role of a lifetime for him.
Yeah.
This almost looks like the role he was born for, you know? Yeah. He looks really comfortable in that role.
And it's, like I said, I've been seeing it's getting a lot of buzz right now.
So, is that 100% on Rotten Tomatoes?
It's really? Something like that.
I think it is, yeah. I think it is.
But I've
watched this movie, man. I'm excited.
I've learned to not really trust.
I know. Rotten Tomatoes. I know.
Because sometimes I read the you know, it'll show like little sections of somebody's review.
Right.
And then you'll read it, and then you'll just like, you don't like movies, do you?
They're in the wrong business.
It was like that thing you were talking about earlier. It's like, you know, when it gets the best horror movie of the year stuff, you always have to be like, all right, hang on a second. You're pushing that a little too far.
Break up.
All right, that comes Late Night with the Devil comes out March 22nd, and will be coming to Shudder April 19th.
Wait a minute, is this already in the theater then? Like as of tonight?
It could be. Could be a late night.
I gotta see
showing.
If I can find this. Yep,
it's definitely out tomorrow.
I gotta see if I can find this one. Here we go, Late Night with the Devil. Yes, it's in my movie theater right across the street.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Ghostbusters may have to wait.
We have three more trailers to talk about. You guys want to talk about the big two or the controversial one?
Up to you guys.
I don't know what that means, but yeah, let's go.
What do you want, controversial or the big two?
Let's do controversial. What's controversial?
The Crow.
Right.
Oh, okay. Because it looks like ass.
Okay. Oh, no.
The Crow starring Bill Skarsgård, FKA Twigs, Danny Houston, directed by Rupert Sanders.
Wow.
Now, I've seen a lot of reactions online. It seems like if you're a casual fan of The Crow, you're okay with the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a diehard fan of The Crow, you fucking hate everything about this.
Ouch.
Now, me?
You must be a diehard fan. I'm sorry, Brian.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Phil. I didn't know he was a diehard fan of The Crow.
Oh,
I think he is.
I mean, as a diehard Bruce Lee fan, I'm a big fan of Brandon Lee. And the original Crow is fucking
probably
classic.
His best movie.
Yes, absolutely, easily. And to me, this looks like the Suicide Squad Joker.
Oh
the
no!
Jared Leto Joker. Like the design looks fucking awful. I don't know why.
Do you agree with a lot of people who are saying that they should have made him look like exactly like the original?
Well,
because then there, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep an open mind about it. I'll definitely watch it. And I don't hate the tone of the whole trailer. It's just the look of it and the whole, like, and I really like Bill Skarsgård too, but like.
He got pretty fucking ripped for this movie.
Well, he did, but it's like, another comparison I've heard is the Devil May Cry redesign of that character, because he was like this long-haired Victorian era, you know, metal guy, And then sure. They like redid him and cut his hair short and made him look like this ripped up little male model guy.
Yeah, he's a SoundCloud rapper now.
Yeah, there you go, SoundCloud rapper instead of a like bassist for a heavy metal band.
Yeah, but what's kind of keeping me in, it, this looks like it has potential to be super violent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Like,
there were some scenes in the trailer that looked like they could have been really cool. I don't like the design.
Yeah.
At all.
Now, if it's super fun, violent action, could you get over the look and be into the movie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If they pull me into it and it's a good movie, I'm down with it. Like, I actually really would have liked to see, you know, the extended cut of the Suicide Squad where they had, like, more scenes with Jared Leto's Joker. Because I wanted to see more of him.
Because that guy says he doesn't want to do the Joker no more because he said the movie he filmed with Suicide Squad, that's not the movie seen is not the movie he filmed.
Yeah. And I know that Jared Leto was pissed about that whole situation. Because he came out looking stupid. And they took that design and went, hey, why don't we throw that into a
Crow movie? There's so much from what I read. I know we're supposed to be talking about The Crow. But there's so much backstory Jared Leto's Joker. Like, the gold teeth. It was supposed to be explained he has gold grills because Batman knocked his fucking teeth out.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, they didn't go into that.
No, they didn't.
At all.
He just has tattoos that say, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, they went weird with the tattoos. He's got, like, some tattoo with a face, and one of the eyeballs is his nipple, and it's distracting.
Oh, yeah. There is that.
I'm hoping this will be super violent and fun action, because I like the scene where he shoots through his own body to shoot the person off of him. It looks like he's...
Good gimmick.
When he's standing on the stage in front of that crowd, he looks like he throws a couple severed heads into the crowd.
I didn't catch that.
Okay. It looks like he's throwing I couldn't make it out, but it looks like two heads in bags. So I'm hoping that's the violence aspect that I'm looking for in this.
I mean, like I said, I'll keep an open mind. I'm not super stoked about this one.
FKA Twig, she looks super sexy. Show her ass all in the trailer.
That was nice. That's a good way to start the trailer.
I had to look her up. I didn't know who she was. I guess she's a singer.
Oh, okay.
Sounds about right.
All right. The Crow coming to theaters June 7th.
Look, won't be there.
Probably not until somebody tells me it's awesome.
or if Brian puts it on the schedule.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
We could compare both of them.
You know what?
Yeah. It may not be bad.
I wouldn't hate that episode.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you guys asked for it. Crow.
Philip. Yeah, Machine Gun Kelly. There you go.
Machine Gun Skarsgård.
There you go.
All right, now to the big two. We'll talk about the one that came out just before we started recording, and that's the teaser trailer for Beetlejuice, the follow-up to Beetlejuice's 1988, the comedy horror about a ghost who is recruited to help haunt a house. Well, that seems like a synopsis for the original movie, not the new one.
Well,
which I kind of like not really knowing. I like not knowing what this movie is about.
That's good.
Yeah. How much of a synopsis do you really need?
All right. The cast. Of course, written and directed by Tim Burton.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sold.
Michael Keaton, Jenna Ortega, Willem Dafoe, Monica Bellucci, Catherine O'Hara, Winona Ryder, Justin Theroux.
Sold.
And so on and so on.
Yep.
Hmm.
Everything you're telling me about this movie sounds awesome.
And it looks like they killed off that real life creep. I hope that was his grave.
Oh, Jeffrey Jones, huh?
What a
child, the child diddler or whatever.
Was he?
Yeah, he's convicted.
Was that the fat guy?
The one that played the dad?
No. Oh, that guy. Yeah, really? I didn't convicted. Know that.
Yeah. I hope that was his funeral in the teaser.
Wow. Probably was, man. He's not in the... You didn't list him in the cast, so...
Well, you never know, because they brought him back for that... what's that Western show on HBO they did the movie for?
Oh, yeah. Deadwood. Deadwood.
Yeah, they brought him back, and that was after he was convicted and did time.
Ooh.
Well, which, but they did kill him off, didn't they?
All right. Thank God. Explain to me how you can do things to kids, go to jail, and then ever see the light of day. What in the fuck?
Phil, that's the reason why we never reviewed a Jeepers Creepers movie.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's right. That dude. Ouch.
Which hurts me because I liked the first one and I liked the character of the Creeper, but the fucking director of the first two, I don't understand how he's able to work in the industry.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it.
Oh, maybe Corey Feldman was onto something in his documentary.
I can almost fucking guarantee you he was being 100% truthful. I mean, Corey Feldman's got a little bit of a fucking crazy side to him, but it's probably because of all that shit.
Yeah, didn't directors from like the 90s or 2000 Nickelodeon shows, didn't they all just get outed recently?
Yep.
Basically like, shows that neither we grew up with or our kids grew up with were being made by
diddlers.
Not
Keenan and Kel. Please say not Keenan and Kel.
Well, no, it was more the behind the scenes guys.
Behind the camera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's creepy. And one of the things that that what's his name said was the other Corey was about Charlie Sheen and the other Corey Haim.
Hmm.
I don't know.
But
you know, Charlie was on a lot of coke.
You think?
But all this is for a different episode.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice, short teaser.
Yeah. Oh, that's
everything
what we're
looked
about.
Great. Everything felt like I was being taken back to 1988, but an updated version.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm ready for this.
Yeah. Like, you couldn't have a better cast, man. Michael Keaton sounded exactly the same, which was
Jenna Ortega. All I know is she plays Winona Ryder's daughter,
which totally makes sense.
Acts just like her. Looks just like her.
I love it.
And I know Nez somewhere got excited when he saw Winona Ryder because she doesn't age.
It. Yeah,
and so did Garrett.
Oh, he's a big Winona Ryder fan.
Big time, yeah, big time.
See, I'm not even a huge Winona Ryder fan, but she was fantastic in this movie, and she looks exactly the same in this one.
I want to hear the debate between those two because I think Nez is a bigger Winona Ryder fan.
Oh,
well, got to get him on for Beetlejuice, Brian.
Who loves her more?
Fight it out. All right, Beetlejuice, in theaters September 6th.
Not to mention, fantastic name.
Yes. All right, and now to the other big teaser trailer, which I am 100% fine with what I saw. I don't want to see anything else. I saw enough. That is Fede Alvarez, Alien Romulus.
Okay.
Starring Isabella Merced, Kelly Spaney. Don't care who else because they're all going to die. Teaser trailer looked fucking amazing. I felt claustrophobic with that shot back going through the air vents. I know Fede Alvarez is going to bring the practical effects because he did the Evil Dead remake, Don't Breathe.
Yeah, looks like there's going to be some blood.
Oh, that scene when somebody was pulling out the face hugger out of their throat.
Oh yeah, that was rough.
And I don't think we've ever seen, like, it was a quick shot, but it looked like a whole bunch of face huggers just like attacking people. I don't think we ever seen that many just come at somebody.
Like a colony of them, huh?
Yeah. Oh man, I thought so this teaser was great.
Was it laying an egg down there, or was that like a face hugger penis?
Oh,
well, it's a face hugger penis that goes into your throat. So I'm assuming if it already deep throated the person, it already laid something in there.
I would think so, yeah.
But I'm all in. I thought this was fantastic. I think this was a perfect teaser. You don't need to really show that much.
Yeah, and they didn't give you much.
All I know from doing some digging is this takes place between Alien and Aliens.
Okay.
And that's all it. Right. That's a bunch of young people. Young people on the ship that are probably going to get murdered. Not probably. I thought it was a prequel. They are.
For some reason. For some reason, I thought it was a prequel.
No, they said between Alien and Aliens.
Okay. We're all in, for sure.
And I liked that original, or not the original, the like that extra little trilogy that Ridley Scott did with Prometheus and stuff. Mm-hmm. More than most people probably did.
I enjoyed it. And I think something that's real telling is he's very protective of this franchise.
Yeah.
He was all on board with producing this when Fede Alvarez basically was like, this is what I want to do with it. And he's been championing this. And he's told other people to kind of fuck off that wanted to fucking direct a movie. Because right. It was basically, I'm going to direct the movie type of stuff. But he was all for this one. So
from the little bit it gives you in the trailer, and it's not much, it's a teaser, right. But it looks like it's going to be good.
I was saying, yeah. Anthony Hopkins isn't a spring chicken. Ridley Scott really isn't.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They got like 90-something?
Well, he's still making movies. I'm hearing, speaking of Denzel, I heard Gladiator 2 is, everybody's raving about the stuff they seen that Denzel did in the movie.
Denzel's in Gladiator 2? Okay.
Yeah.
No kidding. Okay. Okay.
Everybody said the little scenes they said with Denzel, they're like, Denzel's probably going to steal this one.
Dude, he's one of my favorite people on the planet. I love Denzel.
But yeah, Ridley Scott's doing Gladiator 2. Or been filming. It's almost done filming.
Yeah, I've been talking about that one for a while.
And he did that one, what was it, last year, Lance? With Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Yeah.
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon haircuts. As Knights of the Realm.
Oh, that's right.
They're Prince Charming haircuts.
It wasn't.
I couldn't get past the haircuts.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, the haircuts were definitely goofy.
The dumb and dumber haircut.
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber, the Middle Ages.
I don't know if we talked about it. Did we ever talk about Ben Affleck's Dunkin' Donuts Super Bowl commercial?
No, but it was glorious, especially
I loved it. Tom Brady is the DJ. Matt Damon is the hype man that just kept apologizing.
It was like he was playing his character from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah. And I don't know what made me think of that, but I just like Jennifer Lopez was just like, Ben, I fucking told you. You're not coming, you're not getting on the album.
Yeah, he was great, man. Back to the Aliens thing. Love it. I'm sold.
All right. Aliens Romulus is coming to theaters August 16th. And that is the end of Trailer Palooza.
That one's worth going to the theaters to watch. I'll check that out for sure.
Check that one over the crow, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm gonna need to get some real feedback from the crow, like after it's already come out.
If you guys want it to be an episode, I'm really
guessing that movie's gonna fucking bomb.
Yeah, there's, I think it's 50-50 with me.
Yeah.
It could be really bad, or it could be something that I wasn't expecting.
Well, and it may be something that you weren't expecting, and it could be really good, but it's going to end up like a cult classic or something, because I think in the theaters, it's not going to do
well. Oh, you're saying, I can see what you're saying. It'll find its audience later.
Yeah, but it's not going to find it in the theaters. That's a bad idea.
No, because like I said, I've been going through different podcasts and YouTube channels, and like I said, if you're a diehard Crow fan of the original movie, then you fucking hate this, everything about this.
Yeah. Well, and it's another one where it's like a big remake to take on, because the original was so awesome.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, why the fuck are you doing this? But
because it's Hollywood. Yeah. Instead of coming up with something new, they'll just see, what do we have in our catalog? Oh, we haven't done one of these in a while.
We'll see if it actually makes any money.
I think the last Crow movie had Edward Furlong in it.
Yeah, I don't count those.
Oh, okay. All right, edit that out. I didn't say that.
All right. Let's move on to some listener feedback. This week, we do a double dose of podcast spotlight to cover last week, as well as this week. First up is the More Deadly podcast. The More Deadly podcast is all about horror movies directed by women that prove that female of the species is more deadly than the male. Join your hosts Rachel and Ariel each episode as we discuss a new female-helmed movie and the talented woman who made it. Well, all right. Just like the Praying Mantis, I guess. Or the Black Widow.
just not Madam Web, right?
Just not that one.
No. Let's move on before I go on another rant about that movie.
I want to hear it. I was drinking water, but AJ got home and brought some gin. So,
well, I needed some gin after watching that movie.
Yeah, I figured as much, man. Sounded that way. Sounded like you needed somebody to give you a big hug or something.
I needed one. Let's put it like this: our friends over at the Geeks, one of their hosts, yes. Alil. That is Spider-Man, yes. And everything Spider-Man. That is his guy.
Yes, he's my fellow Florida man.
He refuses to watch Madam Web because he already knows.
As do I.
Somebody that's a diehard, I got to watch everything Spider-Man. I got to.
Yeah, a completist.
If you see the back, his collection is mostly Spider-Man.
It's on Disney Plus now, right?
It's on nothing.
Which I don't think it's going to be on Disney Plus, is it? Is it Sony?
Well, they put Morbius on
that. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That movie's fucking better than Madam Web.
Oh, no.
Because Morbius.
Isn't that the Joker, too, in that one,
Phillip? Yeah. Jared Leto's done some crap movies in the past few years.
A vampire with a grill. That's the movie I want to see.
Well... You think he's better suited? I know we're supposed to be on listener feedback, but you think he's better suited for indies?
Yes.
Talking about Jared Leto, because
yes.
His next
yes.
big movie is the next Tron movie.
Well, I mean, I don't know. He plays eccentric really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Gotcha.
I don't know. We'll see. He just can't be the main character of a fucking blockbuster movie. That's not.
I know. That's yeah. Well, we used to say that about Jake Gyllenhaal though. But we used to say that about Jake Gyllenhaal too, right?
But
look at him
Jake
now.
Gyllenhaal is like.
I think he's grown as an actor. Range. I think he's grown.
I do too. Yeah. I do too.
For sure.
Now, if this was Prince of Persia, Jake Gyllenhaal, no, I don't ever want to see him.
Yeah.
But now.
That's the one I was thinking of.
I'm just like, they wasted him in Spider-Man.
Yeah, they really did. Like, Mysterio. He should have had a bigger part.
Mysterio.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. And also for this week, we shine the light on Plug It Up.
Plug It Up.
Great name. Great.
Great poster.
Yes, yes. Wonderful artwork.
Plug It Up is a horror podcast, horror movie podcast about the monstrous feminine. Host Caitlin Grant and her funny guest look at all the monstrous feminine in all its forms, including monstrous menstruation, like Carrie and Ginger Snaps.
Yeah.
Monstrous motherhood, like Rosemary's Baby and The Omen. Femme fatales, like Jennifer's Body and The Love Witch. The Love Witch?
I've never seen The Love Witch. I know what it is.
Oh, I want to. I want to, man. It looks really good. It reminds
me of that. Doesn't it look like it's a throwback?
Yes. It gave me the same exact vibe that Late Night with the Devil did, where it literally looked like it was filmed in 1977 legit. Yeah. Because when I went to see Stop Motion at the theater, Brian, I actually got a teaser for Late Night with the Devil. And it was just like 30 seconds, guys. And it was like kind of, I don't know. But this one was like showing you what all was going to be crazy shit going on in the movie. Yeah. So anyway, we're tangent night tonight, I guess.
Black Widows, like Dolores Claiborne.
Okay.
Body horror in women, like Teeth and Raw. Treacherous friendships between women, like The Craft, and Mean Girls. I threw that in. Women battling horrors, like You're Next, and the women who are themselves horrific, like Gone Girl.
Okay. Lot to cover.
Check that out. You got some feminist stuff happening. Matt Wood. Just listened to the last episode, and I wanted to thank Don and Ellie for his vast knowledge on the giallo and how the genre came about. Stuff I never knew, so thank you. Don responded, oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. That was even a Cliff Notes version of it, and I didn't have a chance to go in-depth on everything. Yeah, Don is super-duper knowledgeable on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt a little bit smarter coming out of that episode.
Yeah. We've had some talented guests lately, that's for sure.
Regarding the Horror Returns t-shirts available at TeePublic, great image on a seriously great quality shirt. Buy one now. Actually, throw out all your current shirts and buy enough of these shirts to replace your entire wardrobe. I'd do it, but I have a wife, and that would lead to a line of questioning that I can't be bothered dealing with right now. And I don't know who said that.
But I think that was from Zim.
But he's not wrong. I've got one of the shirts. It's pretty fantastic. Like, and I've got this badass shirt that I ordered off of Amazon from Cobra Kai shirt.
And oh yeah, okay, cool.
The image is completely fucking gone. It's faded, it's out.
Oh no.
My Horror Return shirt prevails. Stuff, man.
All right.
And great t-shirt. The fabric and stuff, you know, very soft. Regarding the Toxic Avenger behind the scenes pick in the group, Cameron Sullivan says Insane Clown Posse is getting out of hand.
Jesus. I think you got to see the picture to get that, but that's, I guess that was spot on, Brian.
Regarding this year's March Madness episode, Tim Davis says this is a fantastic listen. Every single person made amazing points to multiple movies. And you have all made me look at these films differently. Well done.
Nice.
Regarding the original Halloween, Joseph Rogers Lee says the best of the best, especially given the time and era. Agreed.
If they're getting rid of everything but it, I guess that makes sense, right?
Yeah. Regarding Poor Things. Oh, I watched that one too. What a crazy fucking movie.
That's nuts. Yeah. AJ loved it. Me not to so much, but I don't like that director at all. So I might have had some prejudice going in. Who knows? Mark Ruffalo was okay.
Yeah.
Did you get like kicked in the nuts?
It's the whole fucking movie is insane.
It's super weird. It's
totally fucking it was a good movie. I disagree with everything they have to say about life. But
mm-hmm.
It was kind of a good movie.
Okay.
I see it's on Hulu, but it looks like nothing I'd want to watch, honestly.
It's
and it's 3 hours.
It's not really like anything else though. It's so fucking weird. It's
hours. Why is everything 3 hours?
It seems that way lately, doesn't it?
This one almost makes sense to be 3 hours though, because I'm telling you, it's not like anything else you've ever watched.
That's why I haven't.
It's such a different movie.
That's why I haven't started Oppenheimer.
Oh, that's good. I've seen it twice now. I've seen it twice now, Brian.
So you had 10 hours?
Yeah, I did, and it's how do I describe it? I won't. I'll let you see it. Tell me what you think, man. I don't want to give anything away. It's not what I expected exactly, Philip. Would you kind of agree? It was more nerdy and scientific than I thought it was going
to
be.
I had no idea what to expect when I watched this movie. I just knew that it was like up for Best Picture or some shit.
Yeah.
And Rose turned it on, and I was like, "Hi." Like the.
I mean, I've seen.
It has like three totally separate acts.
I've seen some of it. It does. I mean, we got some sexy time with what's her name, Florence Pugh.
Sure.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Disney likes all that.
Well, you got more than a few scenes there, Brian. So soak it in.
So regarding Poor Things, Sam Castellanos, Castanier, I don't know.
Sure.
Says it's
Camassier.
It's a Frankenstein movie with the horror taken out.
Oh,
kind of.
That's not making me want to watch it now.
Amanda Lee says it's awesome.
Okay. See, there you go. Differing viewpoints, Brian.
Regarding Texas Chainsaw Part 2, Shane Hallmark says, I got to meet her, Stretch, a couple years ago, at the Atrox in Birmingham. She was cool. Nice. I probably said that wrong, but, we got an email from Jordan Von Netzer. Hi, would you be interested in having a director, David Andrew James, on the show? Of course. He's the director of the upcoming horror film Bag of Lies, released April 2nd. LA-based distribution financing company, Epic Pictures Specialty Horror Label, will be releasing their horror thriller Bag of Lies in North America. The film will have a limited theatrical run beginning March 29th, 2024, followed by a VOD release on April 2nd. Bag of Lies was directed by David Andrew James, co-written by Joe Zappa and James from a concept by Nick Laughlin. So check that out if you get the chance.
Bag of Lies. Well, check it out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it for feedback this week.
We got one more.
Oh, we do?
From Zim. Did you get it?
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
Nope, don't have it.
All right.
I got the same thing in both.
I'll read it, okay?
Okay, go for it.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Veronica is a misunderstood gem. Let that sink in, boys.
Which one is Veronica?
Veronica.
First movie.
Oh. Yeah, the one with like the tits, the nipples that opened up.
And... Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That movie's so.
What?
I don't know. That movie's just. I got tired of seeing topless women. That's how bad the movie is.
That's not a good sign. But he does go on to elaborate, guys.
Okay.
He does go on. Okay. So let me say a few words. I'm a Danzig connoisseur.
Okay.
As a teenager, I was obsessed with his work. Not so much these days, but I keep up to date on his wheeling and dealings. Out of all the cunts you know, I'm probably the most Danzig. Don't freak out, listeners. He's from Australia. He's allowed to say it. Out of all the cunts you know, I am probably the most Danzig expert that you know. I am probably also the only one who appreciates Veronica. He made the exact film that he was trying to make, and I think he succeeded. However, being in Australia, I have no idea how the fuck to watch Death Rider. It feels like one of those films that will be accessible to me in about 5 years. So, I don't know, Brian. Maybe you can reach out to Zim and give him some advice to try to find that masterful creation, Death Rider.
I don't know if I want to do that to somebody.
Well, he just told you he's the biggest Danzig connoisseur ever.
And he's an old school punk guy for sure, man. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me. He's a huge.
It's not the subject matter of the movies. It's the way he films them. It's just like zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. Oh, too far. Zoom back in.
Well, if you're not
shaky cam when it doesn't need to be shaky cam.
Oh no.
There's a scene in Death Rider and there's a scene in Veronica where you clearly the actress is looking off screen like, keep going.
Oh, okay. No. That's terrible.
It's like a bad porno.
But one thing you have to keep in mind, Brian, Zim is a Patreon patron.
And if you're not careful
what you say, no, I'm saying you may end up having to do a commentary.
Oh, I'll do a commentary. I won't have nice things to say for the commentary.
Might be fun, though.
Yeah, we just got to find a way to get a copy for Zim to watch so we can all do that together.
Oh, yeah.
What's up there?
And, of course, our show intro and all of our new logos come from Steve Carlton from The Geeks. Original skull artwork from Natsuwani. And if you'd like to help us out, please consider becoming a Patreon patron. And as we mentioned, you can pick a commentary for a future bonus show at $5 or more a month. Or you can pick a movie, or three movies, actually, for a future show, right? Three or two.
Are we still at three, Brian?
Yeah. That's
three movies. Okay. You get to pick three movies that we're going to watch and suffer through.
Yeah, any three.
Unless they're awesome, because you're awesome, for giving us anything. And we appreciate it.
One rib.
How much for a rib? One rib. All right. Hook us up and go buy a t-shirt. They're actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, buy a hoodie too.
Yeah.
And a sticker.
Damn, I gotta get a hoodie. Featured attractions. This week, we're going to play with toys from the brand new Imaginary, as well as 2019's Benny Loves You.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Is it 2019 or 2018?
Show. Does it matter?
Yeah, whatever. Benny Loves You.
This is Benny. As long as you have him by your side, nothing can ever hurt you.
Not even a demon's in the hallway.
Apart from them.
I'm in the area with a buyer on Monday. It's getting quite lonely. It's more of a family home.
I have to get this finished.
Lots of people are saying you're already finished.
You haven't evolved. I can't send my creative director to New York in a Goonies t-shirt.
Jack, a man desperate. It's on Tubi. Jack, a man desperate to improve
his life.
Of course
it is. Of course it is.
Throws away his beloved childhood plush, Benny. It's a move that has disastrous consequences when Benny springs to life with deadly intentions. Director and writer.
Sounds good.
Carl Holt, also known for a segment in the Pandemic anthology. I don't know what that is. This is included in the film's credits. All characters and events depicted in this film are entirely fictitious. Any similarity to actual events or persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Apart from Benny coming to life and killing everyone, that bit is totes true. Laters. They definitely knew what they were going for.
Yeah, I think they did.
Wait, you want to start us off? What do you think about Benny?
No, not at all. That's just fucking horrible. Who fucking came up with this shit? Wasn't this the After Dark?
Director and writer.
Yeah, I know, but no, I mean, wasn't this like what? Didn't they have those like Amazon.com like After Dark or Hulu After Dark movies, Brian?
Yeah.
And this was one of those. Was this one of those?
No, not that I know.
Huh. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was part of that series, but I don't know, man. Honestly, I saw it a week and a half ago, and I don't even remember all of it because it was just that bad to me. And I love British humor, man. Like normally, if it's a British film, especially like a horror comedy, I'm going to be in all the way. And I like the concept, and I think that's what bothers me the most. I just didn't care for the execution. But maybe you can educate me, Brian. And then after you start talking about a couple of scenes like that I can't remember right now, then I'll be able to talk a little more educated.
Well, first of all, I got to start with saying I enjoyed the music. It was very Nightmare on Elm Street-esque with the pianos, the doom, 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 you know.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Start with something positive, right?
I liked it. I thought it was funny.
Okay.
I liked that he not only wrote, directed, and produced and starred in it. I mean, you can call it a vanity picture. And usually vanity pictures don't come out great because it's usually all about how look how awesome I am. And
like Veronica what was that? Rock and Roll Nightmare.
Oh, that's definitely a vanity project.
Yeah.
It just shows you how fucking awesome Thor is. John Michael Thor is through the this, on the other hand,
or
is
under the cherry moon. When I saw that in the theater, everybody cheered when Prince died. So, sorry. Go ahead.
This is different than other vanity pictures because he's not the look how great I am. He's a fucking loser from the beginning.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Lives with his parents. You know, can't get a girl. You know, I thought that scene was funny when he brought the date home and then she saw all the childhood stuff all over the walls and you thought she saw a horror picture.
Oh, yeah. Like 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah. I liked the opening scene with the little girl, the little brat kid. And I liked the mom was just like,
I guess,
looking up how to deal with her. And everybody was like, I belt my kid all the time.
And then she like punches her in the fucking face.
Spit coming out.
She kind of had it coming though.
I don't know. I kind of enjoy the British humor, and yeah. I thought the whole handling of Benny was just funny to me. Just this little puppet who only says a few things, but when you listen to him. Even though he says a few things, they're at the right times when the police are investigating on, they're like, you know, who could have done this? And then you hear, Benny loves you. Benny did it. You know, I thought the one scene was super fun. The office murder scene.
Oh yeah. That one was
fun. Okay. Sure.
Somebody got killed with a baguette.
Yeah, that's and there were a couple of them where you could tell they were like, okay, that's not an actor. That's somebody from the set. Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I thought it was, I could see the work that was put into this movie because I think this was filmed over years. It wasn't just something really? that I think he had to finance it and film it over when he had time to film it, you know, because, you know, you got to work and you got to provide for yourself. You can't just work on movies sometimes. It doesn't work like that. And I just respect his hustle on it. And I laughed a bunch of times in this movie. I thought, shit, I want Benny to sit on my shelf with my collection. That's how much I like Benny.
Right.
It may develop a cult following.
He liked it a lot more than I did, Philip. Let's put it that way.
My only problem with this movie, I think, is that it was maybe a little bit long.
Yeah, I can see.
It would have made a great 10-minute segment.
Right? Yeah, like had this been a Saturday Night Live skit, dude.
Yes, would have been awesome.
But a whole full-length movie is maybe a little much. But I loved, I loved the movement of Benny. Like, just bouncing on strings and shit. Like, they know what kind of movie they're doing, and they embrace it fully. And
Fair enough.
And so it's definitely, like, in that so bad it's good category.
Yeah,
right.
But, like, I don't know.
But not that good.
Yeah, like, it was maybe just a little much.
You can't take it too serious because
for sure.
they don't take themselves too serious.
Right. I
mean, you got the coworker that's a big fan of, the asshole coworker that's a big fan of Prince, that his name is Richard, but he pronounces it Richard.
Which is a great bit. And they keep calling back to the comedy bits, and they do it really well. It's got some definitely really funny moments in it, and some relatively brutal kills. Like it gets a little bit creative. Right. It's better than most stuffed animal on a string. Yeah, it's better than most of the shit slasher movies I watched lately.
Okay. If you gotta say so.
All right, scores, Lance, what do you think?
Go 3.
Ouch.
But not super fair though, because like I was telling Brian Phillip, I literally forgot huge swaths of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't agree with you more, dude. You nailed it. That's exactly what I was thinking when I was watching it. This would be a great skit.
Yeah,
you know, like a 10-15 minute skit. But
or maybe if you're gonna have it this long, maybe cut it up into maybe into a web series.
Yeah.
Okay. I could see that. I could see that.
Like,
but like a short in an anthology or something, dude. Yeah. This would kill it.
Right.
That's what we need: a horror comedy anthology.
Nobody's done that yet. Shit, get on that.
And one of our British listeners, let us know: is custard cream really that good? Because that cop was ready to fight over it.
No kidding.
Right.
He was demanding he have some custard cream.
Like, biscuits. It's not your house, dude.
Yeah. He got so mad, too. He was, what did he say? It's the generic version, anyways. I didn't want any.
Oh, yeah. That old saying, huh? Well, I didn't want it anyway.
Well, his partner's holding him back. He cleaned up a bloody house pretty quick.
Yeah, his partner's holding him back. It's not worth it.
Right.
Like he's had this problem before. Brian, what do you think?
It's 6.5. I think it's fair. I laugh more than I didn't. Like I said, I just really respect what he did, to make the movie, to get it made, film the puppetry. I know Lance doesn't like the way Benny was moving, but the movie knows what it is.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I can't argue with that.
And it was ridiculous on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. 6.5. I had a better time with this one than I thought I was going to. Like, I was expecting this movie to be shit. And it was actually pretty entertaining. It kept me.
All right.
We'll move on to our brand new one.
Hey, kids. Imaginary. Do you want a friend who will never leave your side? Introducing Chauncey the Bear. He'll never leave you. Never, ever.
It's nice to see you again, Alice. Jessica told me you've been spending time with a new friend.
He doesn't want me to talk to you. Chauncey? My favorite thing is his eyes. I can see anything I can imagine in them.
He asked you to do something that hurt you.
A woman returns to her childhood home to discover that the imaginary friend she left behind is very real and unhappy she abandoned him.
Hmm. Pretty good description, actually.
Yeah. Director is Jeff Wadlow, also known for Fantasy Island and Truth or Dare.
Holy shit.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, didn't know.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, maybe he's grown, Brian. Maybe he's grown. Let's see.
Writers are Jeff Wadlow, Greg Erb, and Jason Oremland.
Greg Erb? Jeff Wadlow and his Erb, maybe?
Greg Erb.
I don't know where that came from.
Cited Poltergeist as an influence on this movie.
Of course he did. I can see that.
It perfectly strikes the balance between scares and this benign sense of wonder and excitement and emotion that you get when you have a family that you care about. Does it though? The first trailer, which premiered in front of Five Nights at Freddy's, consisted of almost entirely sound effects over a blank screen, encouraging audiences to use their imagination. Do you get it?
Might have been a better movie. Okay.
Oh, this will be fun. All right. So, Lance, I think we've already got a gist of how you felt about this movie, but we'll get there. Brian, why don't you go first?
You know what? I'm going to be fair. This movie isn't for me, but I think it's a great introductional horror movie for young kids.
Yeah.
Okay. I can definitely see that.
It's not full horror because there's elements of fantasy in there.
Yes.
Like a lot.
I think, like Labyrinth a little bit.
Yeah. I think the mythology they were trying to build here was pretty cool, but the movie didn't really get exciting for me until the last 20 minutes when they went to, well, we'll get to there, spoilers.
Freddy Krueger land or whatever.
Yeah. If we would have got more of that in the movie, I probably would have enjoyed it more, but it just felt like, cause my youngest daughter, she's too old now. She's about to be 14. This wouldn't work with her.
See, and mine turns 11 tomorrow, actually. And she loved it.
Yeah. Oh, nice. That's good to hear, man. So it hit its target audience then.
I think that is the target audience.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter didn't have any interest in this, so I saw it by myself. And maybe if I would have seen it with her or like took one of my nieces or nephews, my younger nieces and nephews, and they enjoyed it, it probably would have worked better with me. But I just felt like it took a while to get to where it needed to go. And then when it got there, I was like, okay, this is pretty fucking cool what they're trying to do here. Because I thought everybody was fine in the movie. I didn't hate anybody. Mm-hmm. Even not Bill Skarsgård, the guy that played the father.
Not Bill Skarsgård.
That disappeared for most of the movie.
Right. Not Bill Skarsgård. I love it.
And I thought the main actress, DeWanda Weiss, I thought she was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And I thought the little girl, I did get, the little girl was cool. I thought she did a pretty good job for you know, her age and what she had to do. But I got really irritated with the older daughter, but that's not the fault of the actress. I felt like she was supposed to be irritating.
Right.
So I guess in that way, you know, she did a good job because I was in my head, I was thinking of all the stuff I would have did if this was my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But with all that being said, I think it's a decent introductory movie for kids, but it just didn't really work all the way for me.
Okay. Lance, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is another one of those I kind of went in expecting to hate. You know, I thought, number one, I did already do the notes before I went to see the movie, so I knew what else this guy had directed.
Oh.
That might have poisoned my mind a little bit going in, but I was like, okay, I took Brian's approach. I was like, I'm going to give this a fair shot, and it it actually started out pretty decent. I kind of believed the family dynamics, and with me being a stepfather, like all my kids are not biologically mine. So that is a tough role to play. And they did do a twist on it. They didn't do the evil stepmother as they typically do in 99.9% of all movies. And I thought that was refreshing. And you're right. You're definitely right, Brian. The little girl was she played her part well.
Yeah, she had a scene in there that I thought she did real well. The therapy scene.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy, man. And the therapist and not too bad. I mean, that's where that kind of lost me though. Like, not to go into it yet because we're gonna do it in spoilers. But like something that you know somebody saw but you didn't or whatever. But I don't know, man. I thought it started out okay because it had decent character development. Just like you, Brian, I kind of liked everybody. Not Bill Skarsgård. He did exit stage left pretty fucking early. And that was a little too on the nose, man. Weird. Like, just to get him out of there, you know? Weird. Very weird, right?
Would you really leave? I got to go on tour now. I'm going to leave you in this brand new house and with your brand new family. You got it? Good. I'm out of here.
He's like, Bill Skarsgård meets Harry Styles.
Oh, that's it. You nailed it. Oh, meets Dane DeHaan.
Yeah.
But.
Why did he fall asleep?
I actually kind of like the setup. I was kind of like going with it and all that. And then once they did get to that therapist scene, it started losing me there. Unlike you, Brian, the part later on that you kind of enjoyed more, it really lost me there, unfortunately. It was neat. It was real callback to like Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors type stuff and all that. But I don't know, man.
it didn't really match the rest of the movie, huh?
It seemed really out of place. And then kind of uneven.
I think just because it took so long to get there.
I think so, too.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. There's a lot of build up. I thought it was just kind of going to be your basic thing like you got in Smile, where they go and meet somebody who's the person who knows all the secrets and tells everything, but it turned out a little different than that, which I gotta give them credit for the twist there. It's a little bit twisty. That one particular character that you thought was gonna be so helpful, you know, ended up going shit crazy there at the end, which is kind of funny. Man, I don't know, without spoiling anything. For sure. Yeah, for sure. The little guy that came over that was making everybody think it was Molly, but it was like his mom's allergy pills. That was some good little comedy relief. I kind of got a laugh out of that.
Zero game.
Yeah.
And
how you bring the bottle over and then immediately break it.
I know.
What an idiot, man. I don't want to go into spoilers yet because I'm dangerously close to doing it. What did you think, Villa?
I felt like it had a pretty good base going. Yes. Like the setup was all there. And then the end of it was interesting, but I felt like it didn't really match with the rest of the movie. Like the tone changed to the whole movie. I feel like everybody did like less of an acting job once they got there. Does that make sense? Like
Does make sense. Yeah, like
the stepmother. It's like she was like, I'm done with this fucking movie.
Oh no! She exited stage left along with not Harry Styles, Bill Skarsgård.
Sort of phoned in the end of it. I felt like, but character development was good. Like it was halfway there.
Right.
Like it had a lot of potential. Man, I saw it a week, not even a week ago, and I've already forgotten most of it.
Well, what did you guys think about the opening scene with the spider effects? I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, where she was having the nightmare.
I like the
look. Very CGI heavy.
I like the look, but I don't like the how it looked, if that makes sense. I like
that makes perfect. Yeah. No, I like it makes the design, perfect sense. I
but
get
not
it.
How they ended yeah. up doing it. Even later when we see Chauncey, the girl's bear, changes into form. I like what they were yes. going for.
Okay.
But I was just sitting there like, you could have did this better.
Yeah, it was
see that.
Sort of a callback what they did with that thing. But I felt like they maybe could have teased it a little more true. During the movie.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. There's definitely some different things that they could have done to make this a good movie. Like, it had all the pieces there.
A lot, they could, right? You gotta admit, at least it wasn't just like your haunted teddy bear movie, right?
That's
it
true.
Was a little more
it wasn't
that was
bad.
Kind of interesting.
I'm looking at the box office. It's already doubled its budget. And I think yeah. if they choose to do a second one, I think I honestly yeah. think the second one will be better than the original one if they choose to do another one.
Yeah.
Chauncey's return.
Yeah, because like Phil's saying, there's elements here. It's just they didn't execute them right.
Yeah. It reminded me a little bit, especially towards the end, of Insidious, The Last Key.
Oh, when they went to the...
Ouch, ouch.
Not the yeah. upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get it.
The Inside Out or whatever the fuck it's called. The Further.
The Further.
Wider and wider.
The Poltergeist the place, thing. I don't fucking know.
The place we wanted them to go in the last movie more, but they didn't.
Yes. So that's where I'm at. I think it had a lot okay. of potential, and it maybe didn't. It fouled off the ball a little bit.
Okay.
Foul tip, huh?
Yeah.
Kind of like Wyatt Russell's character in Night Swim.
I forgot he was even in that movie until I saw some little.
One of your favorite movies, Lance, because you really so remember far, a lot yeah. of scenes
no,
from it.
It is. It's definitely in my top half of the year so far, for sure.
All right. Well, hopefully the year will go better. Brian?
Yes, no doubt.
What was your score on this one before we get into spoilers?
Like I said, if you got kids maybe around Phil's age or a little bit younger that you want to get them into horror, this is the perfect movie. But it's for adult horror fans, this is very tame.
Yeah, true.
Not
painfully tame, right?
Yeah.
Not really a lot of violence. I only remember blood like a couple times. Maybe.
Wasn't there blood like coming out beneath the door or something like that?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Literally it? Okay.
Yeah. But other than that, I think the acting was kind of fine. I do kind of see where Phil's saying that the lead actress, what is her name? Let me look it up again. DeWanda Wise. I kind of see where
she's
maybe
cute.
I kind of see where she may have gave up and phoned it in a little bit near the end.
Because she was killing it at the beginning.
Pulled her Dakota yeah. Johnson, did she?
Yeah.
Dakota phoned it in when the credits ran, the opening credits. So, I'm not saying don't go watch it, but if you're going to take the kids, it's a... I give it a 5.5.
Damn. Okay. Almost on Night Swim level.
No, I... What, for your score?
Yeah.
For oh, okay. Because that's not what I gave Night Swim.
Okay.
All right, Lance?
4 on 10.
4 on 10.
Yeah, we invoked Garrett's name earlier. Let's invoke it again, Brian.
I don't know what to give this movie. I guess I'm going to go five.
Yeah, five's a safe bet.
Yeah, because, like, I didn't hate it. I just don't know that I liked it. It's gonna be one of those where we get to the end of the year and I'm trying to make lists. It'll be like,
does it go?
Oh, I forgot I watched that movie.
Yes. Yeah.
I was really hoping this was gonna be this year's Megan.
Yeah,
I was too.
Megan was a happy surprise. I expected that.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, can we agree that this really is this director's best work?
Yeah. By far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
We read what he's done.
Yeah.
The past. Yeah. This is Avengers Endgame.
His
filmography.
How about that? He's crawled his way out of the perpetual bottom 10 for me, I think.
He seems to fit the Blumhouse. This is what we need you to do.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
Here's your budget. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Make us a movie.
And you know, maybe it's good they went PG-13 with this one, because like you said, it's a good intro. Maybe. My daughter loved it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that means a lot, man.
Yeah, but yeah, like had they gone a little higher rating on this one, it probably would have been really stupid.
Gosh, he did Kick-Ass too. A lot of people hate that movie. People don't like his movies.
I like the first. I like the first one. I don't really remember the second one that much. So.
Yeah, me too.
The one with Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey was in Kick-Ass too.
Oh yeah,
he was.
Oh no.
Hold on, let me look it up.
Why do I not remember that?
Yeah, he was.
He played.
He was like the Riddler type character, wasn't he?
Colonel Stars and Stripes.
Dude, I don't remember that movie at all.
Ouch.
I just remember it because the movie's like super violent, has a lot of guns in it, and then when the movie came out, all of a sudden he had this anti-gun stance and didn't want to promote the movie, and everybody was just like, "The fuck, you just made the damn movie."
Yeah, well, I got paid. Now I'm going to have an anti-stance about it.
I just
now I'm justified. I got my money.
I wouldn't have been mad at it, because Jim does what he does.
He's weird.
You can't explain it.
Have you ever seen his artwork, his paintings that he does and stuff?
Ugh, have you ever seen when he shows up to like random like red carpet events? They're like interviewing him, and then he'll ask the interviewer like super weird questions, and they're just like,
he's a strange cat.
He's on something too, Philip, but it ain't steroids.
Yeah, man. Jim Carrey's a weird dude, but he's an interesting guy. Dave Chappelle's got a whole bit on him Man on the Moon. And his
That's true. He was so much in character.
Yeah, he was so in character that he wanted to be called Andy Kaufman. That's who he was
the whole time, right?
Like, couldn't call him.
Said, Chappelle said, "I didn't even fucking get to meet Jim Carrey."
And then I watched that Man on the Moon documentary. It was actually really good. It was interesting. Yeah.
Anyway,
well, I mean, that kind of fit with Andy Kaufman, because when he would do characters, he was full on in that character.
Also true. I guess if you're gonna tap into him, I you know, method actors are always weird. But yeah, five on this one. I thought it was all right. I'm gonna forget about it in a year.
Very safe, fence straddling score.
Yep, that's where I live. All right, spoilers.
This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned.
I really like the end when we went into the guess we'll call it the further for this example.
I call it Freddy Krueger land, but you know.
Yeah. I just like that was where children get taken under the impression that all their dreams can come true, whatever they want happens as long as they're as they can use their imagination. I liked all that, and I liked Betty Buckley's character, the old woman that was used to babysit her and was obsessed with it and was trying to get there.
And you could have made a whole movie about that. Like that.
And they will.
That should have been the sequel.
And it will be.
Well, she's dead now, so.
Well, but I mean, there's more to come. I mean, if you're saying this made any money at all in its Blumhouse, you know they're going to make more of them.
Or they could have gotten there much, much earlier. It's like that final act started happening and it was a total
movie.
Yeah, it's
different
like
movie.
Betty Buckley comes in to the movie like in the first like 20, 30 minutes and then she disappears into the second or the last half. And I thought, I don't know, I like the whole introduction of this other world. And I like the way you have to get there. You have to do the little scavenger hunt, which was kind of fucked up because,
Of course,
especially the one you got to do something to hurt yourself. And that little girl was going to hit the. And I like Chauncey is such an asshole. That he made the nail look like a flower.
Right. Yeah, I think she should have slammed her hand on the nail, and that would have been a super memorable scene.
But it was PG-13, like painfully PG-13, right?
Yeah. So the stepmom comes and knocks the board away, and she grazes the nail.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. I thought she
gets this baby scratch on her hand. I'm like, nah.
Yeah,
dude, I get that on my knuckles every fucking day.
Of course, you do. From the trailer, I thought she was gonna really do it, right?
And that's my problem with the dad. There's something going on with your daughter. She's trying to impale her hand on a rusty nail.
Yeah.
And you go on tour.
I'm on tour.
He's like, bye guys.
Peace.
And clearly,
here you go.
I don't know.
Babysit my children.
Don't worry, honey. Oh, sorry. Brian, don't worry, honey. I won't be doing any cocaine or hookers
It didn't seem real to me. You just moved
you can
into
trust
this,
me.
Just moved right. into this house.
Yeah, that was so
where
misplaced, right?
Clearly there's something going on with your wife when it comes to this house. How she has zero memories from this house, and something bad here happened, and you're going to just leave her alone with your children, who the daughter clearly is like begging you, please take me with you. Don't leave me here with you. And then your youngest is going through all this shit. And then you're just like, got a gig. I'm out of here.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Got my hat and my scarf.
Right. Yeah.
Got to pay for the house.
Well, it's her father's house.
Yeah.
Well, Philip, you talked earlier about the old lady's death. What that was kind of a comic relief, wasn't it? When she got grabbed and pulled into the room. She said, "But anything can happen here. It's Dreamland." I did get a chuckle out of that.
But I like how they didn't want her because she had no imagination.
Yeah, that's true.
Brian.
Yes.
They should have had Benny materialize in that room and grab the old lady.
Benny pops up.
Yeah.
Oh no. Well, and they had like a couple of really creepy moments where they did the, you know, like the voice of the bear was kind of the same as the girls, but it like she wasn't talking at all.
Had
it on videotape, and then they just fucking didn't do anything with it at all.
And it
why is it not alarming to the therapist?
Yeah.
When this happens and you got it on video and then you find out the stepmom thinks she sees Chauncey too. What's going on here? Here's a number to call somebody else. I'm out of here too.
Here's somebody I know that also does this kind of work, right? Bye.
Which she never calls that number, so
right. It should have been like the Exorcist guy in the Paranormal Activity movies, where he's like, "Listen, I'm out of my depth here."
When she gave her that number, she called. It should have been Betty Buckley picking it up because she's wrote books on it.
True. All right.
Yeah, I mean, there's not too much to spoil.
We've run this one into the ground, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, it's just that last scene to me kind of gets me. It takes you out of it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's just it doesn't go with anything else that happened in the movie. It's like a totally separate movie. It's like that. What are we doing the third act to make it real big?
I agree. If they would have introduced the idea of this world earlier in the movie. Like maybe the little girl brings it up because this is where Chauncey says I can go if I finish my scavenger hunt.
Oh, that would have been fucking awesome, Brian. I think Brian then, just rewrote the movie.
And then the stepmom's like, what do you mean? Tell me about this world. And then, well, Chauncey says and this happens there and that happens. And, you know, then we know what to expect, not to get into the last 20 minutes and bam, we're just going in through this magical door into this new world.
Yeah. This could have been like The Ring and then you go into the well, you know?
Yeah.
Or you could have gone in there and Timothy Chalamet is singing, "It's a world of pure imagination."
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
That was the best song in that movie. That's the problem.
You guys ready to wrap?
Yeah, I think we'll end it off. Timothy Chalamet showing up in imaginary.
All right. Well, as always, as always, we want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of The Horror Returns. You can find us at our website, thehorrorreturns.com, which I don't know how many more months we're going to own that. So, and what they're going to charge us to re-up it, but we'll figure it out. Or send us an email. Go to our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is exploding. Brian, what did you do, man?
I just changed a few things I'm posting, which I noticed started to get more
traction.
Which led them to find out that we also post news and trailers and other things. And
cool,
it's been blown up. I believe we jumped from, forgot where we was, but I think we gained like 4,000 followers in the past week and a half.
Awesome.
Philip, what do you think about that, man?
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll listen to the show. Yeah.
Which, I know a lot are, judging from our download numbers.
You just reminded me to say, do not post comments that'll get you removed. I'm not fucking
playing. Oh, yeah.
I'm not fucking playing. I don't care if you're right or wrong, what side you are. If I ask you not to do it, don't post it again. That's all I got to say.
More than fair. It's out there. Yeah. And if you're following the website,
that
if you're following
Facebook the internet. Page,
some of the places where the posts that I do that they do the comments, it makes no damn sense why you would
usually.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, one guy tried to play into it. He was like, "Oh, this picture's pretty horrific. You want to know the real horror in this country?" And I was like,
"Oh no."
Not the place for that.
Yeah.
Not the forum for that, folks.
But all our new followers, everybody's been super cool. A lot of feedback. Lance could probably just do feedback of the past couple weeks for the next couple months if he wanted to.
We got that.
Yeah,
Phillip.
Definitely post on the Facebook group. We'll see if we can get you mentioned.
Yeah.
You'll be internet famous to our 57 listeners.
A lot more than that now, man. It has gone up. I will say that download numbers have gone up to the last 3 or 4 months. So thanks everybody for listening. Seriously. I mean, we really appreciate it. That's why we fucking show up every week, right? Well, you guys show up every week. I show up every third week, you know.
Action's returning soon. Stream Fiends is returning soon.
I hope so.
I was not in the place. Withdrawal. I was just not in the place mentally to record and not in the actual physical place to be all set up, but I'm in my new place, and we will get a new Action Returns episode out here. That's the next episode to come out, because me and Nez realized we haven't done one since I think last year.
Okay.
So it's all coming.
All right. Well, speaking of Nez, he did reach out to me and said he would like to record the Ghostbusters episode with us if we can make that happen. So
sure.
You know, we'll see about that. But next week, more new stuff with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, as well as Ghostbusters 2. Classic. So, so Brian, until the horror returns again.
Benny loves you.
Perfect.
All right, guys.